Things are not getting better, they're getting worse. We see wickedness in our own culture getting worse and worse. We see some Christians who might be deceived, thinking that the kingdom is now and that it's getting better and better, but it's not. The world in its sinfulness is spiraling out of control, and it is heading towards judgment.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, the end times is always a topic that generates interest, but it isn't a subject that ought to preoccupy our thoughts, is it?
You know, Dave, it really shouldn't. You know, we need to know what the Word of God says about the end of the age, but we shouldn't be so focused on it that it overshadows other parts of Scripture and a right focus on Jesus Christ. That's one of the reasons why I teach through the books of Bible rather than topically. You see, by teaching through the Scriptures, it forces you in the text to move and cover what's in that passage versus creating some kind of series and then finding text to support that series. And within that, that's very dangerous and often errors can be made. So today, we're in a portion of the book of Matthew where Jesus is talking about the end times. Our text is Matthew chapter 24, verses 23 to 31.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
I've shared this a couple times, but I want to share it again. I think it's very important for us to see and understand what the world thinks in contrast to what we as believers should think. We live in a culture that believes that things are getting better. As technology increases, humanity grows wiser and wiser. That's what people would say. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're not disobedient to the Word and you know His Word, we know that within ourselves there is no good thing. That only God is good, that we are sinful and corrupt beings, and only when Jesus Christ saves a sinful soul are we able to do what is right, to do those good works which He has prepared beforehand, all because of Christ. If you've studied history, mankind has had great optimism at times concerning the world getting better. Before World War I, there were those who said things were getting so good, and man was good. But as you know, that war was a wake-up call with all the death and carnage and wickedness. And the 20th century was one of the most bloodiest centuries mankind has ever seen. Whether it was Hitler, Stalin, Mao, Pol Pot, things are not getting better, they're getting worse. We see wickedness in our own culture getting worse and worse. We see some Christians who might be deceived, thinking that the kingdom is now and that it's getting better and better, but it's not. The world in its sinfulness is spiraling out of control, and it is heading towards judgment. Now, Scripture reveals that God is patient. He is unwilling for any to perish, but there will come a day when He judges. Before we get to Matthew, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. God is holding back His judgment on sinners. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation." Verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 3. "For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at one time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth, by His word, are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 13. We see an Old Testament prophecy of the day of the Lord coming, that God is going to deal with sin and sinners. That although he is patient and gracious, the day will come. Isaiah 13, it's in the middle of your Bibles, about Isaiah 13, verse 6. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore all hands will fall limp and every man's heart will melt. And they will be terrified. Pains and anguish will take hold of them, and they will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in astonishment, their faces aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel with fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation, and he will exterminate its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it arises, and the moon will not shed its light. Thus I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud, and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. I will make mortal man scarcer than pure gold, and mankind than the gold of Ophir. Therefore I shall make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken from its place at the fury of the Lord of hosts in the day of his burning anger. God is a God of love, but he is a God of justice also. And he will come, and that day will come. Now, within the reality of judgment upon the earth, which we're going to see today, part of that, there is another reality that Scripture teaches, that even in the midst of judgment, God is still saving. That God will use this day of the Lord, his day of his wrath, to bring about the salvation of the nation Israel and bring about his kingdom in the context of righteousness on earth. God is not a liar, as some would say, or knowingly or unknowingly make him by saying that Israel is done. God will bring about their salvation, as we will see today in our passage. And this leads us to what we're going to look at today in the book of Matthew, where we're going to see how Jewish tribulation saints are to respond to the greatest deception that will ever come upon them in the great tribulation. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, and we're looking at verses 23 to 31. Now again, I want to briefly share the context. We've been going through Matthew for the last few years, and hopefully for those of you who are here, you know the context of the book of Matthew, but some of you may not understand that context. I'm going to give you a real quick overview, and then we're going to move into our passage. And we're going to see today that our passage is heavily driven by the context that is nearby, so we need to understand that also. We've seen in the book of Matthew that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Lord with salvation, that he came to his own people who were sitting in darkness in the shadow of death. Those Jews who would believe that they were the Lord's, but yet they were in their sins still. He came to them and he shared his word, the way being prepared by John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we saw the rejection of the Jews. They wanted all the stuff, all the miracles and signs, but they didn't want to repent of their sins and trust in Christ. We saw the Lord Jesus call them an evil and adulterous generation. We saw the leaders who were hostile to Christ from the beginning, desiring to kill him. And then the last third of this gospel, we came to the last week of our Lord Jesus' life. We saw what is called the triumphal entry on the Sunday of the last week, where he came in on a colt, humble. And as Luke records, he was weeping over Jerusalem because they missed the day of visitation. God had come in their midst, calling for them to repent and believe, and they had missed that, and Christ was weeping over that. They were yelling, "Hosanna, son of David," but yet within a week, they would say, "Crucify him." We saw the Lord Jesus symbolically curse Israel by looking at the fig tree, this tree which was beautiful and should have bore fruit, but it had no fruit, just like Israel. They looked great on the outside, religiously speaking, but on the inside they were corrupt and rotten. We saw Jesus cleanse the temple of the wickedness, those who had made it a den of merchandise, a den of robbers. And we saw Jesus in the last week of his life in the temple, teaching the word of God, receiving worship, and preaching and healing. And then we saw his authority challenged by the wicked leaders. And Jesus responds with their condemnation through three parables and then seven woes. And in the end of chapter 23, he moves from the condemnation of the leadership to the condemnation of the nation as a whole. Now we come to chapter 24 and 25, which is deemed or called the Olivet Discourse. It is a discourse between the Lord Jesus and four of his disciples on the Mount of Olives. It arises out of what he had shared in chapter 23, that their temple, that their house would be destroyed, and that they would no longer see him until they say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And as they were leaving the temple, he pointed to it and said, not one stone would be left upon another. And that caused these disciples to come question the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Olives privately. And while he was sitting on it, Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, let's look at that. And while he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. And now in another gospel, we know that that is Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They have come to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And from those questions arise the answer that Jesus gives in Matthew 24 and 25. Now we looked in Mark chapter 13 and we saw that the disciples were confused, that they were continually awaiting Christ to usher in his kingdom. And they were perceiving that when the temple was destroyed, Christ would bring in his kingdom. He would come, the end of this evil age, and the kingdom age would come. But they did not understand, so Jesus corrects them, and he answers their questions, but only the second portion. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? That's what Jesus answers in Matthew 24 and 25. He answers the latter part of their question. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? That's what Matthew 24 and 25 are about. Now, as we've seen in depth, the Lord Jesus is speaking to these disciples, but he is prophetically speaking to the generation that would be alive during that time for their good and their protection. As we saw last week, where Matthew adds, inspired by the Spirit, "Let the reader understand," the one who would be reading this. Now, Matthew 24 and 25 are directed to those who will be in the tribulation. We've shared this a lot. Some of you who are new, you may not understand this. You can go back and listen to those other passages we've looked at, when we looked at Daniel in depth and other places. But this is the tribulation, the seven-year period on the earth. Daniel's 70th week, Daniel chapter 9. It is the day of the Lord. It is the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah chapter 30. It is specifically directed at Jews, although God will punish the nations at the same time. And he will also save Israel, and he will save many Gentiles. It is directed at Jews. As we've seen, we have the term Judea and Sabbath. It's directed at Jews. And this tribulation is not something that happened back in 70 AD when the Romans destroyed the temple. Because we'll see today that at the end of this tribulation, immediately following, Christ comes visibly, and that has not happened yet. So then we have the time of Jacob's trouble, the time in which God is turning his plan back to Israel after he has had his time with the Gentiles, as he has dealt with and delivered and saved the church. Let's take a look at the narrow context before we start here. Remember in verses 4 to 14 of chapter 24, Jesus begins to answer the question, what will be the sign of his coming and the end of the age? And he tells them that there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be deceptions. But they were not to be frightened, because the end was not yet. These things must take place. In the first 3.5 years of this tribulation, the Antichrist, as we saw in Daniel 9, had made a covenant with Israel. They're living in peace. We see in Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 11, they're living in peace the first 3.5 years, but they're hearing of wars and rumors of wars. They're not to be frightened, for they must take place. There'll be troubling rumors. Verse 7 of chapter 24, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. We men don't understand labor, but women who have had children do. The beginning of birth pains is the start. It gets more intense and becomes more frequent until you have the birth. In the first 3.5 years, it would be just the beginning. But then in the middle, there would be terrible, terrible carnage, as we saw. The great tribulation would come that last 3.5 years, where we see it will be characterized by nations' hate for the Jews. And he says they will kill you, speaking to the Jews. And there will be apostasy, those who rise up against their own families. And people's love will have grown cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. The one who remains under is an evidence that they know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we came to what we saw last time in Matthew. Let's read this together. Matthew 24, verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken through the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Therefore, because the great tribulation is coming upon you, because there's going to be death and carnage, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, the one spoken of in Daniel, he's talking to those who would be reading the word in that time. When they see it, they are to flee. Verse 16, then let those who are in Judea, these are Jews, flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to get the things out of his house. Verse 18. And let him who is in the field not turn back to get his cloak. You need to leave right away. But woe to those who are with child and those who nurse babes in those days. That was a difficult portion. Why would God say woe to those who have had children in those days? And we saw when we looked at this last, that those were the ones who had not been reading the word of God, who were unaware of the times that were upon them, who were not prepared to obey this word and leave. Woe to them. But they were to pray in advance, but pray that your flight may not be in a winter or on a Sabbath. Again, it's Jewish. The Sabbath would prohibit it. The winter would be very hard to travel. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall. 70 AD was a horrible time for the Jews as Jerusalem was destroyed and many died. But we've seen much more carnage towards the Jews. We've seen it in World War II with Hitler. But this time will be the worst. He says, in verse 22, and unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those are those whom God has chosen. Those are believers. Those days shall be cut short. If you were with us the last time we looked at this, we saw in light of the evil coming upon these Jews that they were to flee to Judea immediately when they saw the abomination of desolation. That's the Antichrist, the one spoken of in Daniel. As we looked at many passages, we saw in the midpoint of the tribulation, 3.5 years into this, Daniel chapter 9, 2 Thessalonians 2, Revelation 12, Revelation 13 and 17, we saw this. That the Antichrist, the abomination of desolation, he would arise in the midpoint, break his covenant with Israel, Daniel 9. And the last 3.5 years would be fueled by Satan's fury, Revelation chapter 12, towards Christ and towards Israel. He would set forth to destroy them, Revelation 13. He would empower a man with all his power to carry out his wicked carnage. Satan has always tried to hurt Christ and the things of Christ. He is a liar and a murderer. We saw him trying to exterminate the Jewish children in Egypt. We saw him through Herod trying to get to Christ and exterminating the children. We've seen his wickedness in many ways, and his means and tactics are no different. It is through deception, as we will see today, and death. And Satan will try to exterminate the Jews, as we will see in this final portion. His fury will be turned towards them. Now, Satan in his full force will put his efforts against the Jews, but God has set forth a means to protect them. We'll see this, that means in which God has prepared to save them and deliver them from Satan's wrath. This time will be so bad that if it would not have been cut short, no life would have remained. So then, these Jews have been told to flee. They need to know the word of God in advance. They need to be praying in advance. They need to know when they see him in the temple to get out immediately. And now God is going to give them some more instructions for their protection. We're going to see today that as they have fled and they are under his protective wings, that there will be deceit through Satan attempting to pull them out away from their protection, that they would be destroyed. And Jesus is telling them in advance so that they would not succumb to the deception. To our passage today, Matthew 24, verse 23. Then, if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. If therefore they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go forth. Or behold, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from the sky and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. He will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. The first thing we're going to see today is that Jesus commands these tribulation saints, these Jewish tribulation believers, not to believe the deception that will come upon them. Now you're saying, well, Greg, I'm not a Jew, first of all, and I'm not going to be in the tribulation. I know that God is going to take the church, that he is going to take them before this time. John chapter 14, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. How does this apply to me? Well, we're going to see today that these principles apply to us, that Satan, we're not ignorant of his schemes. He uses deception, and we need to be aware through the word of God in obedience to it by his power and strength so that we are not deceived. There are many other lessons I believe we'll see today. So with that in mind, notice first of all, in verse 23, Jesus commands these believers under his protective hand not to believe the deception. Verse 23, then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Matthew. And you can hear today's message again by visiting our website. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, you know, there are some who believe that the world is just getting better and that soon Christ will just come set up his kingdom here on earth. Why do you disagree with that point of view?
You know, Dave, I disagree primarily because I believe Scripture disagrees with that point of view. You see, we don't have time to get into all that right now, but I would encourage you to listen to this message and the next two messages on your own time. Maybe pick up a copy of it on CD. And as I go through all the supporting texts, I believe it becomes clear that we are not yet in the kingdom age and that there are prophetic pieces of the puzzle that have not yet occurred. Now, solely on a pragmatic viewpoint, just looking at the condition of the world, I find it hard to imagine how people would say that it is getting better and better. The reality is the world is increasing in its wickedness. It's not getting better. So my friend, if you're holding to this belief, I'd invite you to re-listen to this message from our website, ask for the CD, listen at your own pace, take notes, look at the scriptures, and then ask the Lord to help you understand what he intended from his word. He's faithful. If you'll humbly do that, I believe he'll reveal his word to you.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.